Our focus thought today is John's willingness to promote Jesus rather than himself as one of the best examples of sacrifice in God's Word. John's sacrificial service leaves us a splendid example to follow. Key verse, Isaiah 40 and verse 3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And then our lesson text beginning here in Luke chapter 1, verse 57. "Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And the mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to the father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, His name is John." Amen. Praise the Lord. "And they all marveled. And his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. And fear came upon all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him." Amen. And then in John or Luke chapter 1, dropping down to verse 76, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, and to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel." Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he was unique in many ways. He was a very special person that God prepared for a very special time and a very special ministry. The Bible says that John came. And he had an impact on the society of his time. He really impacted the world of his day and reached out in a very special, unique way. The Bible prophesied of his coming in the Old Testament in several different places, that there would be one that would come before Jesus Christ, announcing the coming of Messiah. Now, everybody was waiting on Messiah. People were excited about his coming, and they had been since the fall in the garden, and the promise that there would be a Messiah. That was all the way back in the very beginning of time. John had a miraculous birth. It has similarities to the birth of Isaac, because he was born to aged parents that were beyond the age of childbearing. His mother and his father were both old. His mother was barren until that time, had never been able to conceive a child. In Bible times, that was considered somewhat of a stigma, that a woman could not bear a child. And so Elizabeth bore that stigma all of her life until she was aged And then the Lord miraculously came down, intervened in her behalf, and she gave birth to a son in her latter years. Amen. And so his birth was a miracle in its timing, and it was also a miracle in what he was called to do. John was called to do something exceedingly great. The Bible says that Elizabeth was several months along in her pregnancy, that Mary came to visit her, and when she came, it says spectacularly that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, she didn't talk in tongues like they did in the book of Acts, but the Spirit of the Lord certainly did come upon her in a miraculous way. And I hope Brother Wesley went to get me a battery, because my battery's dying. Amen. Anybody got a dying battery here today? There's one that seems to be working. Maybe it's going here long enough till we can do something else. Amen. The scripture speaks of several women that had the issue that Elizabeth had not children. Of course, one of the most famous was Sarah, the wife of Abraham, who conceived the child when she was 90 years old. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Amen. That would be almost like my mother-in-law having her 16th child, because she's a little over 90 now. And I'm sure she wouldn't be looking forward to that at all. But Sarah was, and God blessed her in a miraculous and a mighty way. And of course, then there was Rachel, the wife of Jacob, who could not bear a child. And then whenever her son Joseph was born, she said, God hath taken away my reproach. Amen. And then Samuel's mother, you remember Hannah, could not bear children, and her contemporary made fun of her and laughed at her. Amen. And till Samuel was born through her own prayers and intercession. And she said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in my salvation. Amen. And so Elizabeth, John's mother, also greatly rejoiced, and this is what she said. She said, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. So the Lord looked down upon Elizabeth and blessed her greatly, and she bore a son. Amen. The Bible says several things about the parents of John the Baptist. One is the Bible says they walked in righteousness. They walked in righteousness. You know, just because you're righteous and you walk in righteousness doesn't always mean that you're going to have everything you want. You may suffer some things, isn't that right? The Bible talks about the suffering of the righteous, and we have found that to be true. Amen. Anybody had any trouble trying to do right? Anybody ever had to pay a price for doing the right thing? Amen. I've literally had to do that. I remember going one time to register my car, and it was I'd actually got in a few days after it was due, and they said, have you driven this car? And I knew that if I said yes, it was going to cost me a penalty. If I said no, they wouldn't know the difference, and they wouldn't charge me a penalty. But you know what? I'm a Christian, so I had to tell the truth. And so I had to say, yes, I've driven this car, so it cost me more money. Amen. And but that's all right. I'd rather pay more and tell the truth than pay less and tell a lie, wouldn't you? Amen. Integrity has a price, but it's a good price, and it's well worth paying to be able to stand in a good conscience and know that you did the right thing. And so they walked in righteousness, Elizabeth and the father Zacharias, and they were godly people. They had a great testimony, not only before God, but they also had a good testimony within the community. Amen. You know, there's a beautiful verse that I pray quite often in the book of Acts. It says, and God gave, talking about the early church, God gave them favor with all the people. And that's something that I pray for the church, that God would give us favor with the people. Amen. If people don't like you, you're not going to win very many of them to the Lord. Isn't that right? I said, if people don't like you, you're not going to win very many people to the Lord. Yeah, you may not, I've heard people say, I don't care what people think about me. Well, I do. Amen. I want people to like me. Thank you, sir. Because if people don't like me, they're missing out on a pretty good thing, first of all. Amen. Isn't that right? And you ought to think the same thing.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be likable.
The Bible said if a man would have friends, he must what? Show himself friendly. So if you want to have friends, first of all, you got to be friendly. You know, some people are like trying to hug a porcupine. You got to be real careful. Anybody ever met anybody like that? They're always got their quills up. And you never know from time to time exactly how it's going to be. So we got to get our quills down and be friendly, so that people will accept us and we can be accepted, and that's all very, very important. Amen. And so they had a good report, and the Bible also talks about a good report. If you want to be effective for God, you have to have a good report. Amen. And so all of those things are good, and Elizabeth and Zacharias had a good testimony. And then the birth of John was also miraculously foretold. By the time Zacharias, who was a priest, came to life, there were lots of priests. There were multiplied tens of thousands of priests. And so a priest might wait his whole life to just be able to go to the holy place and offer sacrifices. He might just get to do that one time in his whole life, because there were so many. They all had responsibilities, but not everybody got to go and do the incense. You know, that's the big thing, right? And so most likely this was Zechariah's big day. It finally came that he got to literally walk into the holy place and go down with the golden censer and start lighting the fires and renewing the oil and putting the bread on the table of shoe bread. It was an experience that he had lived for. And as he walks in and is going about his business, the Bible said that an angel by the name of Gabriel appeared to him. And that in itself was extremely, extremely exciting. It would be for me. I've never seen an angel besides my wife. Amen. Well, that's what one guy said. He said, my wife is an angel. He said, She's always up in the air harping about something. I guess that's one definition. And that's not my wife, by the way. That was his definition. Amen. And so Gabriel appears in the tabernacle, and he begins to converse, or the temple, he begins to converse with Zacharias, making him a promise. And then Gabriel actually quoted a portion of a verse that's found in the book of Malachi, the last of the prophets, and some of the last verses in the Old Testament. Amen. And he quoted this. He said, "And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So this is a quotation from the book of Malachi by a prophet concerning this baby that was to be born. Amen. And so he gives this amazing prophecy to Zechariah as he's in the temple and he's burning the incense and he's going about his business. I think that's very interesting that he was just going about his business. It was just like any other day. It was special that he got to do something special that day, but he was just going about his business when an angel came to him. Amen. Could I say to you today that just because you see an angel does not make you a special person? Because it's not really about you and me. If an angel comes to you, it's not doesn't make you better than somebody else, doesn't make you a greater Christian than somebody that never saw one. That's good. That's true. I'm just telling you the truth here today. Amen. Isn't that right? It gives you a great testimony. You got a wonderful story. But somebody that never sees an angel is just as saved as you are. Going to the same heaven you're going to. Amen. But God may honor you in your life and allow you to see an angelic being. I remember a sister that gave her testimony, an awesome testimony, about seeing an angel. And she saw the angel on several occasions. But I remember her statement. She said, "Really, I didn't see the angel because I was special." She said, "As a matter of fact, those were the lowest days of my life." She said, "I really, really needed to see an angel." And I mean, she was going through it. And the angel of the Lord would come and speak and make himself visible, work in her behalf, and she saw that. And it was a great time of encouragement for her to see those things. And so God does send angels to us in times of need in our very own lives. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so it's important that we hear and from God, see the miraculous. And we live every day in a miracle. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you are a miracle. Amen. I think that if we're not careful, we lose the wonder of our salvation and forget how great of a miracle we are. Amen. You know, you haven't always been what you are now. Right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Before Jesus Christ came into your life, you were a different person. Amen. And it literally was a transformation that you became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so we do have miracles in our life. And thank God for the miracles that he gives to us day by day. Could you help me to progress here? It's got a hang up for some reason. Amen. Amen. All right. So John, it was foretold in the beginning that he would have a very special mission for his life, and that he did. He had a great mission that he went on, and his job was to point people to Jesus Christ. John had one of the hardest things, hardest jobs any human being ever had. His job was to decrease so that Jesus could increase. Now, the decreasing is hard work. Everybody likes to go up the ladder of success. Nobody likes to come back down the ladder of success. We all like to ascend. We like to get better. We like to get more. We like to get pay raises. Yes, we do. Amen. We like to get more recognition for what we do. And John rose to a place of great prominence and popularity and power and notoriety, and then he had to start descending. That is a hard job to do. Amen. Somebody said the hardest instrument to play is second fiddle. Everybody wants to be first. It is pushed upon us from the early years of our life that we're supposed to be first. Amen. And so John had a very challenging ministry that God gave to him, and he did it exceedingly well. Amen. We have a mission, do we not? The Bible said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. We have a mission. Has it changed, has it? We're still supposed to be going, and we're still supposed to be teaching, and we're still supposed to be preaching, and we're still supposed to be reaching, because we have a world that needs Jesus Christ desperately. Amen. If there was ever a time that we need to be involved in ministry, this is the hour and this is the day. Amen. Well, when Zechariah heard from Gabriel that his wife was going to have a baby, he had a little problem believing that. I can understand. I can understand. Amen. How that would be. Abraham, he struggled somewhat, didn't he? The Bible said he believed that it was counted to him for righteousness' sake. But then after 10 years passed and it hadn't happened, he began to have some second thoughts again. He wanted to believe. He did believe. He acted on his faith. But he still struggled with doubt. Amen. And we sometimes struggle, don't we? Even though we believe and we continue and we're in the way and we keep acting on our faith, but we still, doubts come into our mind, and we have to deal with them, and we have to struggle with them and fight against them. And that's what happened to Zechariah. He wanted to believe this good news, but then he asked the question, "Whereby shall I know this?" And so the Lord did give him a sign, didn't he? He said, "Well," he said, "you're not going to talk until the boy is born." Well, that was a sign, all right. Maybe not the kind of sign he was looking for, but that's what happened. Amen. And so Gabriel comes, and he looks a little shook there, don't he? Amen. "Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and he shall be great in the sight of the Lord." Amen. So he told him what his name was going to be before he was ever born. And that from the very, very beginning, he had the details of what was going to transpire. Amen. He said, "I'm Gabriel in the presence of God." And then he said, "I'm sent to speak these things to thee and show thee these glad tidings." So that was the angel's introduction. He gave him his name. He gave him his position. His position was he stood in the presence of God. That's pretty special. And then he said, "I'm come here to tell you what you're going to do and to bring you these glad tidings." Amen. Hallelujah. Anytime God gives us a job and involves us in a ministry, I think that's a good thing, don't you? It's certainly awesome to be invited by the Lord to take place in some ministry that he gives us to do something to do. And so he tells him, he said, behold, thou shalt be dumb. Now that means he could not speak. That doesn't mean he was stupid. Amen. You know, we use that word in two cases, don't we? Somebody said, you dummy, that doesn't mean that you can't speak necessarily. That probably means you're not too bright. Not the brightest bulb in the chandelier, as they say. And he said, you're going to not be able to speak and not be until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Amen. And so I think this is interesting, that here's Zechariah doing on the greatest day of his life. He's burning incense in the temple, and he has this encounter with an angel of the Lord, and he can't tell anybody. He comes out, and he's had the greatest experience he's ever had, and he can't say anything. Wouldn't that be awful? It's like there was a preacher one time, and so they say, I didn't know, this is just a story, by the way. And he woke up a Sunday morning. It was the most glorious day, beautiful day, and he just got real tempted to go play a round of golf, and he called in sick, and went and played golf that day. And so the Lord speaks to the angel, and he says, "Watch this," and the guy hits the ball 360 yards, and it drops right in the hole, right in the cup. And the angel says, Lord, why did you do that? And here he is. He's out on the golf course on a Sunday. He lied to get out there and said he was sick, and he's out playing golf. And you caused him to make the greatest shot he's ever made in his life. He said, why did you do that? The Lord said, huh, who's he going to tell? Here's the greatest thing that's ever happened to him, and he can't even tell anybody because he's doing everything wrong. Amen. And so Zechariah, he has the greatest day of his whole life, and he can't tell anybody because he can't speak. Can't you see him? He comes out, his face is full of excitement. His eyes are just leaping. Amen. And nothing's coming out. Everybody's saying, what? And he just couldn't communicate. And so that was a very interesting happening, penalty for his disbelief. So he comes, but he does have a message. And eventually, of course, John's born, and he gets to tell them what happened. John the Baptist was a man with a mission and a man with a message. Was he not? Amen. I mean to tell you, here's the thing about John. God set it up so interestingly, because there had not been a prophet in Israel for 400 years. For 400 years, not one prophet had spoken for God. Wow. And then all of a sudden, after 400 years, here's this prophet that begins to preach powerfully. The Bible said John, he was different. He dressed in camel's hair. That's rough stuff. He was tough. He didn't have a beautiful robe and a beautiful garment and the softest material. It was tough. John was a tough guy. And John preached a tough message. If you wanted somebody to tickle your ears, it wasn't John. If you wanted to hear a feel-good sermon, it wasn't John. If you wanted somebody to stroke your ego, it wasn't John. John came preaching this message. His message was, repent or perish. That was it. Turn or burn. That's what he preached. There's a store over in Tyler the other day. I passed. I thought it would make a good name for a church. It's called Join or Fry. But I thought, secondly, maybe that's not a good name after all. But that was John's message. It was join or fry. He came preaching powerfully, repentance, and God sent revival through the ministry and the message of John. I like what the scripture said, John 1 and 6. It said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Isn't that an awesome introduction? A man sent from God. A man that has the conviction and the knowledge that he is on a mission for God is unstoppable. Amen. He stands with conviction and he preaches with authority and with power because he knows that he's from God. And John in that spirit and he literally like an earthquake in Israel. I mean, he stirred things up. From the top to the bottom, he stirred things up. He got things going. Amen. This is a quotation from the book of Luke chapter 3, verse 4 through 6. Also in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, talking about John. It is written in the book of Isaiah, the prophet saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. That was John's ministry. His job was to reach up and get the high and bring it low. His job was reach down and get the low and bring it high. His job was to take what was crooked and straighten it out. And the Word of God will do that. He came preaching a powerful message. Somebody defined the ministry this way. It said the purpose of ministry is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And that's what it does. It brings the high low and brings the low high and makes straight the way of the Lord. And so that's what John came to do. And he preached very powerfully the word of the Lord. Amen. And so the Bible said he came to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. To prepare the way of the Lord. And so that's what he was doing. He came baptizing, by the way. Came baptizing. Now, in the Old Testament, we find symbols and shadows of baptism, but they did not baptize in the Old Testament. A lot of ritual cleansing. Remember the brazen laver at the temple and the tabernacle, and later the temple, where they would wash? That was a symbol of baptism. The priest had to wash a ritual cleansing before he went into the temple. There was a cleansing that Gentiles went through if they wanted to become proselytes to the Jewish faith. It was a symbol that they went through that they were changing their life and they were laying a new life and starting a new life. And so John came preaching and he came baptizing. Amen. He required, the Bible said, fruits worthy of repentance before he baptized. He wanted to know that people were going to change their life. And so he came baptizing. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So John came preaching powerfully and baptizing. And it was, there was a revival that was going on in Israel because they had not heard anything like this in 400 years. I mean, he comes and he says, hey, he said, there's one coming after me. It's mightier than I. I baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Those are That had to be exciting for people to hear that after waiting for so many years. Amen. And so he came preaching powerfully and preaching mightily. Amen. And literally people would go out into the desert from the city to hear John preach. We need that kind of revival today, don't we? We need that. We need the kind of revival that where we don't have empty pews or empty altars or empty baptistries. We need that kind of revival today. Amen. We do. That's what we need to pray for. God, send us that kind of revival to Athens, Texas. Amen. Praise God. You know, when there's revival, people don't care whether air conditioner works or not. That's right. That's shocking, isn't it? Then people say, well, you know, if you got to have everything this way and that way, well, people won't come. Or if they get hungry, they'll come. If you have revival, they'll come. Amen. I've been some of the hottest places in the world, and we didn't have air conditioning. Folks would come. Amen. I prayed and with folks and preached and prayed with people until I didn't have a dry thread on my body. Amen. And had people get the Holy Ghost left and right. Amen. And you know what? They'd pray till you think they're going to pass out, and you thought you were too. Amen. But they did come. And come. Amen. I've seen them come, and I'm not talking about, some came on buses, but I've seen a lot of them come in the back of just an old truck with sideboards on it with the whole cattle. And I mean, it would be packed. Amen. Just packed with people. And they'd come, you'd hear them singing before they ever got there. And they'd drop the gate on the back, and they'd come piling off that cattle truck because they wanted to come to church. Amen. When they got there, friend, they weren't fidgeting. They were worshiping. Praise God. They weren't worried about it being hot. Some of them would just get a little bag of water. That's a good air conditioner. Amen. And they'd get right with it and keep on going. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, yes, when you have revival, and that's what we're praying for, that kind of revival, that kind of hunger for God. That kind of hunger that's how I was preaching to, that kind of an environment. People literally would leave the city, go out into the desert to John, and they would hear his message. Amen. This was John's message, that there's one coming after me. Well, I'm going to baptize with water, but he made him a promise. He said, "There's one that's coming. There's one that's coming." And then one day while he was baptized, he looked up and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And people turned around, and there was a young Jewish man by the name of Jesus, hallelujah, stepped on the scene. And John said, "That's him." And Jesus came and said, "John, I need to be baptized." He said, "Oh, no, I need to be baptized of you." But Jesus said, "Let it be that it fulfill all righteousness." And he went down to the old muddy Jordan River. I've heard people want to go to the Jordan River to be baptized. Why? It's dirty. This is a lot nicer right here. It does the same job. Amen. It's not the name of the place you're baptized. It's the name in which you are baptized. As long as you use the name of Jesus, it can be a bathtub. It can be a cattle trough. It can be a nice Baptist. It can be in a lake or an ocean or a river. Doesn't matter. I met a man one time in Mississippi, was working over and off of the coast of Africa on a drilling rig. And he got to talking to these fellows about baptism and the Holy Ghost. And they said, "We want to be baptized." And so they let him down off of that drilling platform in a cage down in the water. Amen. There in the Indian Ocean. He baptized them out there in the ocean. Amen. In a cage off of a drilling platform. That was okay. Amen. I baptized a fellow in the hospital one time. He's just one I ever baptized in my life. We went down to the rehab, where they do rehab, and they had a table for people that were like he was. He was bedfast. Amen. Could not walk at all. And so they laid him on that bed, and I pushed a button, and I said, in Jesus' name, I let him down in the water. And I pushed another button and brought him right back up. That's pretty cool. I thought we'd about getting one of those installed here. Amen. That's great for pastors with a bad back. I don't have a bad back, thank God. But it sure was easy. Amen. Hey, it's not the Jordan that does it. It's the name of Jesus that does it. Amen. And so they baptized him in the name of Jesus. So he's baptized, and the Bible said that the heavens opened, and there appeared the Spirit of the Lord descending. Everybody say, like a dove. I don't believe there's a bird come down circling his head. Amen. It was a spirit of peace. Spake, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. You know what that voice was for? That was for John. So that he would know beyond the shadow, this is the one. Now from that moment on, John's life began to change. Even that day, the Bible said that he had a follower by the name of Andrew, and another one by John, and they turned away from John the Baptist and followed Jesus. Never went back to John the Baptist. They went and found Peter, amen, and others, and they brought them not to John, brought them to Jesus. And Jesus began to increase in popularity, and the crowds began to leave John the Baptist and go to Jesus Christ. He didn't get mad and quit. He kept preaching. He kept fulfilling his ministry. Though his crowds were dwindling and Jesus was gaining, that was the whole purpose. But I'm going to tell you, it's still not easy on the ego. But John, he knew what his ministry was. He knew what he was supposed to do, and he kept on doing it. He just kept on preaching and doing the will and professing the word of the Lord, and he just kept right on doing what he was supposed to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. He keeps on with his mission then, and he keeps on preaching the word of the Lord and doing the will of God. Amen. And this is what he was supposed to do. Amen. So John's mission, he did this. First mission was to declare. John preached the baptism, repentance, and remission of sins. His job was to decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease, John said. Amen. And if you want to know how difficult that is, you just go on a diet. That's the ministry of John. It's decreasing. It's a lot easier to increase than it is to decrease. It costs you something to decrease. Amen. And then John's ministry was to die. Amen. John lost his life to gain eternal life. Whosoever loses life for my sake, the same shall save it, Jesus said. Amen. And so John had a great mission. And this was a great part of his mission. Remember, John was bold in his preaching, and he upset the king. He told the king, he said, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. You're living in adultery. That didn't set well. And later, he had John put in prison for preaching. While John was in prison, Herod threw a party. His stepdaughter at the party and gained such favor before a bunch of drunken men that Herod all caught away and the moment promised her anything she'd ask for. She asked him what she should ask for, and Herodias said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a silver charger. And what a way for such a great man to end the life. Amen. There's a lesson for us there, folks. You know, life's not fair. Let me just say that one more time, so I want you to hear it real well. Life is not fair. Somehow we have this idea that if we live right and do right, that good things are going to happen to us. John had one of the most cruel and unfair things happen to him that's ever happened to anybody. John should have He should have lived to be an old man and died in dignity.
Yeah.
He should have died with honor. But he didn't. He didn't. He wound up in prison, and from prison he was beheaded. And so we need to understand that life's not always going to be fair. But this is not the end. Amen. We do believe in a hereafter, do we not? Does anybody here still believe in heaven? Does anybody here still believe that there's a just God that's going to judge all? Amen. Anybody here still believe that when you draw your last breath on earth, that you're going to breathe celestial air in heaven? Anybody believe that when you take your lap in the dusty earth, that the next step you take will be on streets of gold? Amen. Anybody believe that no matter who you see last in this life, the next face you're going to see is Jesus Christ? Amen. You see, there's a better day coming, folks. And we believe that. And it's the only explanation that we have for men like John the Baptist, that he would end his life the way he did. Amen. It's only right that there's a better by and by. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we have a mission, do we not? John had a mission. And you and I have a mission. Praise the Lord. And our mission is to declare. Our job is to preach the word of the gospel to the whole world. Our job is to decrease, just like John did. Amen. Decrease and not take credit for what the Lord's doing. Amen. And then our job, of course, is to die. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. So this mission of John, the mission of the church, is very much the same. Jesus said this. He said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoso loses his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Amen. So we've got to put death and dying and sacrifice in the right perspective. Amen. You know, the interesting thing about the ministry of John the Baptist, there's no record in the Scripture that John ever performed a miracle. And yet, he had an awesome ministry. He had, by any standard, John had a miraculously successful ministry, but he never did a miracle that we find in the Bible. Amen. And so we don't know. Now, when Jesus came, I mean, he came doing miracles right and left. And, of course, John began to decrease and Jesus began to increase. And then, of course, came John's imprisonment. Now, that had to be the will of God. Because Jesus preached like John did. And on three occasions they tried to arrest him, but they never could. He would just walk through their midst. John didn't get to do that. It's not easy to always understand the will of God. You know, when something bad happens to somebody, our first thing is to deny that could possibly be the will of God. Isn't that right? We automatically start praying that God will change this situation. This could not be the will of God. Apparently it was for John. Do you think Jesus could have got John out of prison if he wanted to? I believe he could have. But he didn't. This is very sobering, folks. This is where the rubber meets the road right here. You talk about proving your discipleship. John had an opportunity to prove his discipleship strongly. Amen. When John was in, he began to have some second thoughts, I guess. And I suppose that would do it to you. So he sends one of his disciples to Jesus, and he says, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Even though he had preached, this is he. He heard the voice, "This is my beloved son." He saw the Spirit descend upon him. But now he's in prison. Different perspective, and he's saying, he's beginning to have some doubts. Are you the one? Or should we look for another?
Huh.
And what was Jesus' answer? He said, "Go and show John again these things which you do hear and see." He said, "Tell him what you're hearing and tell him what you're seeing. Tell him that the poor have the gospel preached to them. Tell him that the blind receive their sight and deaf ears are unstopped. Just tell him what you're hearing. Tell him what you're seeing." And then he said this. This is bold statement. Jesus said, "And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Well, that's a powerful statement. Why would Jesus end his comment to John by saying, "John, don't be offended. Don't be offended." Now, I'm just going to put this where you and I can really understand it today. Here's a man that his whole adult life he gave to the ministry of God and promoting the Messiah. And he ends up in a stinking prison cell, facing death for just doing the right thing in the will of God. He's lost almost all of his followers. They're following Jesus now. It looks like his ministry that was at its peak, all of a sudden it's in the pit. And it would be easy for John, if anybody ever had a right to have a pity party, John had a right. But God never likes pity parties. He don't care who you are or how bad your situation. He never gives you permission to have a pity party. Isn't that right? Shake your head like this right here. Yes, sir, that's right. Don't care how bad it gets, don't have a pity party. If you do, I guarantee you the devil will show up. He loves pity parties. He never misses one. You start feeling sorry for yourself, you talk about coming right up to you. Oh, he loves it when you start feeling sorry for yourself. When you start talking down and looking for the bad, looking at negative stuff, he'll sit there and he'll become your tour guide, and he'll point every slight that's ever happened in your life, he'll start pointing it out. Amen. Real or imagined, he'll start pointing it out. He'll say, "Remember that? Remember what they said? Remember what they did? Remember what they saw? Remember this? Remember that? The devil loves pity parties, and God never attends one. He said, "John, don't be offended in me. Don't be offended in me. Don't. You've come this far. Now, don't be offended here at the very end. Don't give in. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give out. Amen. Just keep on believing. You made it this far by faith. Make it on through." Amen. And so that he did. I believe that John held on by faith. Amen. I don't know what his last words were, but we do have the thing that Jesus said about him. Amen. I wanted to read this from Matthew chapter 11, verse 10 and 11. Jesus said, "For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, that there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." And then he went on to say, Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why is that? Why are you greater today in the kingdom of heaven than John was? Because you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You have been baptized. You have entered into a covenant and a relationship with God that John the Baptist didn't even know. It was not because John was not deserving, or John, it just simply, it had not come in his day. The book of Hebrews says it well. It said, God having reserved some better thing for us. These all died in the faith, he said, but God has reserved some better thing for us. Amen. Hey, with great privilege comes great responsibility. Isn't that right? Amen. I'm going to be responsible for more than John the Baptist was, because I've received more than John had, and so are you. Hello? Hello? Amen. I had never been to prison yet for preaching the gospel. Have you? But if I ever get there, God help me not to get offended. Not to get offended. You ever heard of somebody didn't receive what you said? Watch it now. You know what they said about me? Don't get offended. Don't get offended. Amen. John, he experienced some tough stuff. The Lord said, now don't you get offended in me. Amen. I've known some people just give up serving God. They said, oh, it's just too hard. Hard? Hard? Hard to live for God? What are you talking about? The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. This is not hard. Amen. Praise, this is good. This is the best. Only thing's going to get better than this is heaven. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time and your attention today. Thank God for John the Baptist. Amen. By the way, John was not the founder of the Baptist Church, just in case you wanted to know. He was called John the Baptist because guess what? He baptized. Amen. Praise the Lord. But thank God for John. What a great, great man. And what a great example for us to follow in his footsteps and his ministry. Amen. The Lord bless you. Amen. Turn around and shake some hands and give away some smiles and greet your brothers and sisters. We're glad to see you today. God bless you.